Amen. Well, one thing that is absolutely inevitable in the life that we live is that each and every one of us, at some time or another, is going to have to face danger. Some of us face danger very different ways. There are those who, when it comes to danger, they see it at every turn. They think that every corner they turn in this life, they're going to be in danger. They're waiting for the worst case scenario to come, and thus they are always prepared. One group of people you'll find with regard to this is a group you'll find in the internet who anticipate a potential apocalypse. Now, I will say, of course, this is found, this is based on nothing that is biblical, but they anticipate some type of apocalypse that will end the world, that will end humanity as they know it. It really will be for them a survival of the fittest. They see this as a really real danger. And their response to this is to buy a doomsday bunker. Now, when it comes to this, then they build something that will protect them from an apocalypse. They store it with food. They put all they need in it. And therefore, they are comforted by the fact that they prepare for what they see as a very real danger. And there are those, of course, we know this in modern times, there are those that have seen a market for it. They've seen an opportunity to make money. So not only do they offer a doomsday bunker, they say, well, we'll offer you one with a swimming pool. We'll offer you one with a cinema room. We'll offer you all the luxury that you can have, and therefore you'll go into the apocalypse with 5-star luxury. Now, there is also danger when it comes to announcements on our television. Of course, we know very well what happened this year, the announcement of the pandemic, and right away it was put on your television screens. There's danger. Danger all around you. There is danger to your life. There is danger to your health. And therefore, people, when they're walking out of their homes, they felt uneasy. They maybe imagined, well, if I go into this shop or I go to my place of work, I'll maybe catch this virus. So therefore, people prepared for a long stint at home. We know very well what happened. They went to the shops. They emptied the shelves of hand sanitizers. They emptied the shelves of all the food items. And of course, we saw people with an awful large amount of toilet roll. So they did this as they were preparing for danger. As soon as they thought of danger, they got ready. And therefore, they prepared. And yet, when it comes to the gospel, it seems that though we cry danger, though we cry out to people that there's a very real danger of going into the great eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, though we tell them of the necessity of the new birth, though we say all of these things week after week after week in the gospel service, and we cry danger, it seems that people will not and refuse to prepare. They prepare for almost anything. They would believe almost anything when it comes to danger, but when it comes to this danger, they don't prepare. And maybe you've been in the service before. You've heard of the real danger that there is to lose your soul, and yet you don't prepare. And I ask you why. Why will you not prepare? Maybe it is because you imagine you have, or you will have, another opportunity to be saved. Maybe you're not ready to abandon your lifestyle in order to walk the Christian walkway and to go down the path of righteousness. Whatever it is, you refuse to prepare for the eternity that is coming. You refuse to take heed of the danger that is very real. You know, down where I live in Portavogie, there is a very particular trade. I'm sure some of you have heard it up in this part of the world when you're so close to the seaside. It's called whelk gathering. So you go down onto the beaches and you go in the rocks and you gather your whelks. They're like wee shells, and you pick them and you get them by the stone and you take them then to the market and you sell them. Now, one of the key things you need to do this job is to be very aware of the tide. You want the tide that's very far out so that you can go to the very edge of it and then you can work your way back in as the tide comes in. And you prepare for everything then, and therefore, you will be going out sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever time that is. You need to take your lights. You need to prepare for icy conditions. You really need to be ready for anything and prepare for anything. And you know, there has been tragedies that have happened With regard to this job, I know of a tragedy where there were a group of people, they went out and they began their job and they were working hard and they were working away. And next thing they stood up, they finished their work, they turned round and all they could see was water. The tide had beaten them. They had not taken heed to the tide at all. And therefore, that ended in tragedy. And what was the reality? They did not take heed to the tide. They did not take heed to the danger that they were in. And they paid the price. If you do not take heed to the danger that you're in with regard to your soul, I am absolutely certain you will pay the price. You will pay the ultimate price. You will pay an eternal price. And you'll be lost forever. And as we come to Exodus chapter 4, and we learn of a man by the name of Pharaoh, that's the only way the Bible describes him. We learn of a man who is in great danger. Because in verse 21, we see the determination of the Lord against this man. The Lord says, I will harden his heart. And what a danger this is. This was a man then that was not going to take heed to the word of God. This was a man that was not going to take heed of mercy. This was a man then that was in very real danger. And that danger, as we'll see later, led him eventually to perish. And you know, there is a great danger of being in a gospel meeting tonight. A very great danger that you're sitting under the message of the gospel and you're hearing the words of life, and therefore, as you do not take heed, what begins to happen? The heart begins to get hard. What a dangerous situation. What a dangerous situation it is for you to be in now, as you sit in this meeting this evening, to have a hardened heart. A heart that will not be turned. A heart that will not take heed. A heart that could at any moment take you into a lost eternity. There was a very great danger here for Pharaoh, and that's what I want to speak of this evening in this gospel service, the danger of a hardened heart. The danger of a hardened heart. The first thing I want you to see is that there is a danger because of the revelation that is given. Because of the revelation that is given. We're told about Pharaoh very clearly in the book of Exodus. But one thing we see here when we read these verses earlier on in the service, that Pharaoh was a man who was blessed. He was a man who was blessed because he had a great and a wonderful revelation from God. This is what we would describe as being a special revelation from the Lord. And we see it in Exodus 5 verse 1. It says there, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in, and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. You see the revelation that is given there? Do you see what the Lord is revealing to this man? A man that was given over to idolatry and the worship of false gods. He is told not of his false gods or any of these things that he had made by his own imagination. He was told about the Lord God of Israel. The Lord distinguishes himself here. He sets himself apart. And he reveals himself unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh then had a revelation of God. Revelation that was wonderful. In verse 2, in the face of this revelation, he makes a very striking admission. He says, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? That I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. We see a man that is stubborn in the face of God's revelation. He would not take heed to the will of God. He would not do what the Lord had said he wanted him to do, and that was to let the people go. And so often this reaction to the revelation of God reveals the heart of a person. As I said already, you've known the gospel. You've known the revelation of God. You've known that specific, special message that God reveals in his word, and yet there is a stubbornness and there is a thought in your heart, why should I obey this message? And you go on in your sin without the Lord Jesus Christ. Pharaoh makes an admission. He does not know God. in the face of this special revelation. But make no mistake about it, he had a form of revelation up until this point in his life. He had a form of revelation. What I mean is he had the revelation of God all around him. Revelation in the creation. All the types of revelation, the providence of God, the provision of God, all of these things were a revelation unto Pharaoh. And what did he do with them? Again, revealing his heart, he took the revelation of God and he turned it into something for him to worship and to adore. And why did Pharaoh then become an idolater? Because Pharaoh was seeking some type of self-satisfaction. And so he sets up these altars of worship in Egypt. And he turns this nation of his into a place of idolatry. They take the revelation of God and they use it for vanity and wickedness. Now Ezekiel 20 verse 6 to 7 reveals this. It says there, "In that day I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them, Cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." You see the statement the Lord is making there. They said to the children of Israel they were not to get involved with the idols of Egypt. And then he distinguishes himself and he says, "I am the Lord your God." Again, we see the depravity of Pharaoh's heart. That desire to have something to adore and to worship. And you see, this is what men and women do in our modern society. This is what you do in your life. See, you're created in the image of God, and something that happens to the creature being created in the image of God, there's this desire to worship and to adore. And therefore, when people seek to do this, what do? They do not go to the Lord because they know not the Lord. They go into evil and corruption. And up until this point in your life, you have not known the Lord. You have not known Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have something in your heart and in your mind that you love and you adore. Maybe it's a way of life. You adore the life that you're living. Maybe there's a young person and you're living a life that is evil before the Lord and you love it and you joy in it and you don't want to put that aside. Maybe it's a goal you've set in your life. Something you're working towards. Looking for that promotion, looking for something else. And therefore you set your goals before you and you have no time then for the Lord and all of this. And yet how often do you find when people say they get to a place they want to be, they're still not satisfied. They want more and more and more. And why are they not satisfied? Because they do not know God. And maybe that's your life. You're never satisfied. You're never happy. You're never content. You're grabbing for more of this world and more of this life. And more that you think then will finally give you happiness. But the reality is you set these things in your heart. You adore them. You love them. You do not know the Lord. And therefore you will never be happy. You're only ever going to be content in this life. When you know Christ and you know the Lord. And when you put Him up before you as the one that you love and adore. Then you will find that contentment that you're looking for. I want you to see the vanity of all the things that you love and adore. These things that will cost you your soul. As I've said already, Pharaoh had this revelation of God that would have satisfied him. It would have shown forth the great fact that all the idols in his life were nothing. And the Lord, of course, would show that. And we notice how he revealed himself to Pharaoh as the Lord God of Israel. This is his covenant name. This is how he relates to his people. And this is then how he attaches himself to his people and brings them into all the glories of his wonderful covenant and gives them all spiritual blessings. This is how he revealed himself to Pharaoh, the Lord God of Israel, the great Redeemer. Exodus 6, verse 6 says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. The Lord reveals himself as the Lord God of Israel, the Redeemer of his people. And would you not like then to know such a Redeemer? This special revelation is being made to you of the Lord, the Redeemer, the great one who will redeem a people from their sin. What a wonderful thing then to know. What a wonderful thing to take on board. Yes, so often we can speak of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and we do these things legitimately, but the Bible reveals a God of redemption and salvation. And in him you will find satisfaction. Pharaoh asked that question earlier, why should I obey the Lord? Why should I take this revelation to my heart? Or very simply because of the fact that the Lord shows himself as the superior one. Not one God. And every time he makes a revelation of the gospel or a revelation of his will, it ought to be obeyed. It ought to be taken heed to. I ask you then tonight, as the gospel comes before you, maybe you think you're indifferent. Say in your heart, I'm not making a response tonight. I'm not making a decision, but every time the gospel is preached, it forces you to make a decision, whether it is to come to Christ or to reject him. To walk out the door without the Savior is to say no. And what danger that puts you in this evening, because as Pharaoh stubbornly refused the revelation of God, what happened? His heart began to get harder. That's what happens when you're on a gospel meeting. That's why I said earlier it's a dangerous thing to be in a gospel meeting, because every time you reject the gospel, and you may not know this, but every time you reject the gospel and you leave it off and you will not take the Savior, and then what happens is the heart begins to get hard. The heart begins to be more stubborn. The heart is resolute to continue in unbelief. And therefore there is a greater condemnation to those that reject the Savior and are lost without him. Did you know that every time you reject the gospel, it adds to your condemnation? And it'll make it even greater. When a transgression is to come face to face with the Lord, the great Redeemer, to reject his revelation and to leave the house of God without the Savior, what will you do in the face of such a revelation tonight? Will you plunge yourself into further danger? We've seen already, because of the revelation given, I want you also to see, because of the heart's role in salvation. That's why this hardened heart is also such a danger, because of the heart's role in salvation. So often the Bible speaks about the heart of a person. Now, we do not think of the physical organ, of course, but we think of the inner person. We think of the spiritual part of a person when we speak of these things. And every time you study about the heart in Scripture, you'll see that it involves the intellect, but it also involves the affections and the will. And you see then why that is important, because when someone is saved and their heart is changed, the affections are different. They begin to love the Lord, as we thought about this morning, but also the will is different. That will that is against God all of a sudden willingly embraces what he reveals in his word and willingly comes to the Savior and puts their faith and their trust in him. So we see the heart is absolutely vital when it comes to this matter of salvation. And of course, when you go into our society, there is this recognition of a person's heart. You've heard of someone who has been described as having a heart of gold. And of course, we think of someone like that. They're very kind. They're very generous. You think of someone who is described as having a valiant heart. That means they're brave. They're courageous. I came across an internet article and it spoke about people who have good heart qualities. It says these people are unselfish. They get angry for the right reasons. They see good in the world. And therefore, there are these qualities put forth by people, and it is described in relation to their heart. And yet, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible speak of your heart of gold? Does the Bible promote your heart qualities? But the Bible does not do these things. The Bible gives us a true diagnosis of heart. And it tells us then of the deception of the heart of a man or a woman. Jeremiah 17:9, a verse we all know so well. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is this phrase in this verse, it is desperately wicked. And this here has the idea of something that is incurably sick. It was saying then that the heart is incurably sick. And notice the connection it's made. It's desperately wicked and it is deceitful. So what the Bible is saying here in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is incurably deceitful. Incurably deceitful. And what that means is that a person by themselves can never diagnose their heart. Their heart will deceive them. And so often that's why people come to the gospel service and they walk away, because the heart deceives them. It convinces them of all sorts of evil. It convinces them that they can do this without any consequence. It convinces them of all sorts of things. It even convinces them of this false notion of contentment. Because maybe you're here. And I've said already, I've spoken about the fact that you're not truly satisfied in your life, and you might think I'm a fool. You might think the things I'm saying aren't true. These things aren't hitting home with you. Because you say, I am happy. I am content. I don't need the gospel. I am totally satisfied, and there's nothing I want in my life than what I have now. And I certainly don't want the gospel. You say that to me. What is happening? Your heart deceives you. Your heart gives you evil counsel, if you want to put it that way. I tell you, you come to the one tonight, you come to the Lord, and he's described as the great physician. He can give a true heart diagnosis. And not only does he give a true heart diagnosis, but he is the one that can change the heart and the gospel. What a wonderful truth that is. Up until this point in your life, you followed the desires of your heart. You followed the inclination of your will. It's caused you to fall into many great sins. You see no way out, and yet the Lord says he can change your heart altogether. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, this is an important verse, a very important verse when it comes to the Old Testament. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. This here has the picture of two hearts. One heart is a stony heart, and you think of a stone. Stone, there's not much interest in a stone that's dead. And there's nothing in it that's alive. And the Bible describes the heart of the unregenerate, or the unsaved, as being a heart of stone. And yet the Lord says, I will take that heart away. And I will give you a heart of flesh. You think of a heart of flesh. It's alive. It's beating. It's well. What's the Lord saying? He says, I will take your dead heart away. And I will give you a heart that is living, that loves me, that wills to do what I have revealed in the Word of God. Essentially, what I'm saying to you tonight is the Lord can change your life. He can change your heart. And yet the opposite is true if you reject the gospel. Instead of changing your heart for good, he changes it to be even more hard against him. That stony heart is made more resolute. And look what it says in Exodus 9, verse 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and they hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has spoken unto Moses. You know what's happening here? As the Lord hardens his heart, he hearkens not unto the message of God's servants. You see the connection that's made. So many people just think, well, when it comes to the gospel, I'll take it and I'll leave it. I'll just get saved when I want. I'll come in a year's time, 2 years' time, and I'll just choose one night and I'll just get up and I'll get saved. See what the Bible says here? When the Lord works in the heart in such a way, there is no hearkening on to the words that are presented. And the thought of this hardening here is to make strong and resolution. Essentially what the Lord was doing was he is making Pharaoh stronger and his resolution. What did Pharaoh resolve to do in his heart? He resolved to rebel against God. What did the Lord do then? He said, well, you have it your way. You do what you want. I'll let you keep going that way. And the Lord would not intervene. And what a judgment it is for such a thing to happen. You hear the gospel tonight and you could reject the Lord. And what does the Lord say? He says, well, I'll let you go your own way. I'll let you go the way you want to go. And here is the scary thought for you this evening. The Lord could tell you tonight, I'll let you go your own way. You could live a perfectly normal life, 20, 30 years, 40 years. But this could be the night where the Lord sets you on that path to hell. He sets you on that path to perish. And you'll be on that path forevermore. And you will never hearken unto the voice of God and the gospel. I say to you tonight then, if you're in the service, you're thinking about getting saved, take heed to what is being said to you. Do not make this the night where you stiffen your neck against the Lord and he lets you go your own way for the final time. Get this matter dealt with tonight. Get the issue of your soul dealt with tonight. Do it now. Don't even wait to the end of the sermon. Get right with God, lest he harden your heart. And that heart will never embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. One more thing I want you to see out of this thought of the danger of a hardened heart is dangerous because of the end that it brings. The end of a hardened heart is something that is very simple. It ends up in the destruction of a person. There is this great danger that there will be this absolute and final end of a person who rebels against God. And we know Pharaoh did that in his life. He took one last stand, and we read of his ultimate end in Psalm 136. And it's in verse 15, and it speaks here of what the Lord did. It says, the Lord overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. The Bible is telling us here that the Lord brought Pharaoh to his end, and he overthrew him. And this was the day that this man perished. He went into the Red Sea. And that was the day where he met God. And that's the day he lost his soul forever. The Red Sea was a place of mercy for the children of Israel. It was a path of grace and of power and of love for the Lord to take them to the other side. And as they went in there, they were assured, because the Bible tells us that there was no fear in their hearts with regard to that. They went through it and they came out the other side. And yet when it comes to Pharaoh, he went into the Red Sea. And it was not a pathway of grace and love and mercy. It was a pathway where the Lord would finally bring his wrath and his justice upon him. Exodus 14, verse 4 to 6, we read of Pharaoh's last stand. It says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Pharaoh made one last stand. One last defiant act against the Lord. Can you imagine then this man going to the Red Sea, seeing this miracle? A miracle of miracles, something that the Lord did. Can you imagine then how senseless he was to go in and to pursue the people? What did he think was going to happen? It was absolutely senseless. And we see what happens then to a sinner. They're absolutely senseless. They're numb to the danger that they're in. Because their heart is so hard against the Lord. And what an awful thing. And I fear for your soul tonight if you're in the service and that's your estate. You're so numb against the things of God. You're so senseless. You're not even bothered right now. You're in a great place of danger. Pharaoh went into that waters that day and Pharaoh perished. Waters came crashing down. And how does the Bible describe it? It describes it as a great day of honor for the Lord. It would show forth His great inflexible holiness and justice. It showed forth His great glory. The Lord was honored. The Lord was honored in the execution of His judgment. No, in no wise does the Lord delight in the end of the wicked, but He is honored. His holiness, His justice, His wrath brings Him great honor. And I say to you then that Pharaoh was chosen for this end, to honor God and His absolute wrath. What a thing to say, but the Bible says it, Romans 9:17, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. The Lord wanted the people to make a declaration about Him through His actions with Pharaoh. What did He want the people to know? He wanted to know people to know of His inflexible justice and His holiness and His wrath. And here is the marvel of the gospel. Jesus Christ revealed all of these things. As He went to the cross of Calvary, as He hung in that middle tree, we could say that as a revelation of the love of God, His only begotten Son hanging there, as a revelation of His mercy and of His grace and of His intention to save a people unto Himself. And yet the Bible says He did not even spare Him on the cross. At the same time as His love and mercy being shown forth, we see His wrath. He did not spare His Son as much as He loved Him. He did not spare Him. What a revelation of His honor. And I say to you tonight then, understand this. God will be honored in your life one way or another. How will He be honored with you? Will He be honored by a life that's lived for Christ and shows forth His grace? Or will He be honored when the whole world sees you stand before Him, casts you into that lake of fire, and His name is praised for His glorious justice? The New Testament makes a declaration about this Red Sea experience. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-2 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And we have this here word baptized, or this thought of being baptized unto Moses. It is an identification with Moses. And this identification with Moses was that which saved the children of Israel. He identified with God's servant. And I ask you then, in what way will you identify in the path of life? You identify with God's ultimate servant. Will you say that He is my Savior? Or when you're on this path of life, will God's wrath come crashing down upon you? All of a sudden, He will cut you off. And that will be the great end of your life. I pray tonight that you would not harden your heart this final time, perhaps, but that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you go on that path of life, identified with Him, with that great assurance that there will be no wrath coming down on you, but you will reach the other side. You will be with the Lord forever. See the danger you're in. Flee from the wrath to come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you well for His sake. Amen. Amen. We'll bow in prayer. And we'll seek the Lord again at the end of our service. And I would just like to always leave that invitation open if you would like to get saved. If you'd like to talk to me about spiritual matters at the end of the service, I will be here again at the front. And come and make yourself known. And again, we will do it in a safe manner. We will talk about the things of God. But don't leave here this evening without the Savior. Maybe you've got saved in the service. Well, then please do make someone aware of that fact, that we can pray for you in the days that come. But again, I leave this before you. I've said all I've needed to say. And I trust that this will be the night of your salvation.